Hello, today's reading is Galatians 2, 11 to 21. If you're looking at the Church Bible, it starts on page 833. Galatians 2, starting at verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavour to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose.
Thanks, Francis. Once a month, we stay together to have what we call an all-age service to reflect the fact that we are a church family and that God's word speaks to all of us. And today we're carrying on looking at the book of Galatians, which is what the grown-ups have been looking at in the normal services in the past few weeks. And in the letter that Francis just read part of, we hear Paul talking to a group of people and about a group of people who are changing the good news of Jesus. Well, we're going to look at what it looks like to change the good news of Jesus. See, I've got some exciting posts this week. It should be up here as well. You won't be able to see this. Maybe the next one. There it is. I've got some exciting posts. Can anyone see what this is? Yeah, can someone tell me what this is? A golden ticket. Yeah, it's a lot like a golden ticket. This is a free ticket for free entry for life for me and my whole family to go to Legoland. That's a pretty great ticket. The problem is, let me get my pen, because my brothers have been irritating me a bit recently, and so I don't actually want it to be for them. So we'll just change that slightly. And also, my family sometimes think that I'm a bit stingy. Does anyone ever think that about your family? Don't really give very generously. So if they see that that's free, then they might not think it's very good. So I'm going to change that so that it looks like I've paid £50,000 for it. And actually, Legoland's quite far away, so I'm going to change it as well. It's going to be,
let's just do this. There we go.
I'm going to make it to the Cotswold Wildlife Park. There you go. How's that? That's a pretty good ticket. Do you reckon they'll take that? If I go to the Cotswold Wildlife Park, I think that's probably a pretty good, Jack and Hugo can't come. But and everyone will see that I've spent 50k on that. That's a lot of money. But that'll get me into the Cotswold Wildlife Park. Well, I'll let you know how that goes. But I don't know how either would go down, to be honest, but I think that if I went to the Cotswold Wildlife Park with that, they'd say, well, you've changed that, and that's not real, and you can't come in. Well, Paul wrote a letter to a group of people called Galatians to warn them that this is what they were doing with the gospel. The gospel is another word for good news, the good news that Jesus came to take the punishment for all the things that we've ever done wrong, so that we could live forever with him. But the Galatians were trying to change the good news. They thought that they could make it a bit better, maybe go to somewhere bit more convenient, like I wanted to. They wanted to make it a bit more difficult for some people to get in, like I did with my brothers. And they made it so that it looked like Jesus hadn't given it for free after all. They made it look like Jesus was making them do lots of other things in order to get in, just like I made it look like I paid £50,000 for my ticket. Now, the Galatians, these people thought that they were adding to the good news, but they were actually just emptying it. Because some really great things are already the best, and if you try to change them, then you'll ruin them, even if you think you're making them better. I've got an illustration back here. What I've got here, some Coca-Cola, and then I've branded it myself, so here we go. This is Good News Coca-Cola. There we go. Now, this is a full jar of Good News Coca-Cola. Sorry, I was expecting to be up on the stage, so I'll try and make this visible to you as well. It's a full jar of Good News Coca-Cola, pretty special stuff. Now, imagine that I wanted to add to this full jar just to make it a bit better, just to add to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to top it up here. Oh dear. Just making it better, I'm just adding to it. There's going to be loads more now. There we go. Volunteer? Does anyone want to drink that? Actually, I should have known there actually would be one. This is what that looks like now. That's just been diluted. And I don't think you could really call that Coca-Cola anymore. Now, the point that we're making is that some things, if they're already full, then if you try and add to them, then you'll just empty them. I've pretty much emptied that glass of Coca-Cola. It's the same with the good news of Jesus, that if you change it or you try to add to it, then it's not good news anymore. The people Paul wrote this letter to wanted to add things, which meant that some people would find it harder to get to live with Jesus. And they wanted to add things which would make them feel like they'd done more, like they deserved more. But if Paul, who wrote the letter, let them do that, then the gospel, which means good news, remember, wouldn't be good news anymore. It would be like all the other news that we read about or hear about, the news that tells us that some people are important and other people aren't. Some people are worth lots, and some people aren't. Some people can be forgiven, and some people can't. That's what normal news looks like. Some of us have seen in politics or in life or whatever that some people really can be forgiven for things that the rest of us feel like we couldn't be forgiven for. But Paul wrote these guys a letter to remind them that the gospel really is the really good news that Jesus freely forgives. He does it for free, for anyone who wants it. Jesus freely forgives. The Jews, who Paul was writing to in part, some of the church in Galatia, were born into the family of God. And some of them thought that it would be really the best thing if it was still really obvious that even though other people could follow God, they were still special followers. Now, just like Jack has now been baptized into God's family, that's really wonderful, great news. But we did also hear, didn't we? We heard Gemma and Richard talk about how they were going to teach Jack to trust in Jesus as the only way to get forgiveness. That's because they understand that Jack's baptism isn't what makes him a friend of Jesus's. Actually, baptism is a sign that helps us remember that Jesus has already done. Jesus has already died for Jack and for all of us, and he's risen from the dead. So the way to become a Christian is actually a lot easier than what we did earlier on, up on the stage, because we become Christians simply by trusting Jesus, and it's free, because Jesus freely forgives. We'll get that point up before we move on. There we go. Jesus freely forgives. Jesus forgives. But it isn't always wrong to want to do something. The people in this church wanted to feel like they were doing something. Here's our second point. The Galatian Christians wanted to make sure it was really obvious that they were God's people. And so Paul also wanted to remind them that that's already happening. They didn't need to look a particular way. They didn't need to wear special clothes or have a particular color of hair or skin. They didn't need to join what Paul calls the circumcision party, one of the worst types of party there is. They didn't need to look different in any way, because Jesus will help all of his people look different by the way that they live. Jesus said that everything that happened to him counts as happening to us. We heard in the vows during the baptism, the phrase union with Christ. That's what that means. He says it's like we died when he died, and now that he lives in us. This is one of the reasons we have baptism. We saw at our all-age service last month, for those of you who are with us, that often when Jesus talks about floods, he's talking about God punishing sin. Do some of you remember that, perhaps? God once flooded the whole world and saved his people on Noah's Ark. We have a picture of that. Then actually another time, God parted the sea so that his people could run away and pass through, and then again flooded down on Pharaoh and his wicked army. We use water in baptism to show that if Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus, then the punishment, the water, has already come over us and we can now stand forgiven. And we did that for Jack, to show that just as the Israelite children were brought through the sea and would grow up to learn what it means to be God's people, just like that, so too, Richard, Gemma, Jack's mum and dad, have chosen to bring their children with them into the church through baptism and have promised that they will teach him how to be one of God's people, so that one day he might take God's promise of forgiveness and claim it. And that is true of all Grace Church children. Whether they're baptized or not, parents and Sunday school teachers and all of us as members are committed to making sure that all the children that God's given us know exactly what it means to be a Christian, to be God's people. And so when we come to trust Jesus, Paul says that Jesus lives and works in us to help us to live the right way, like his people do. Grown-ups, by the way, sometimes during all-age talks, grown-ups think that they can fall asleep, but they can't. Grown-ups need to remember this as well. If we are forgiven, then we are truly joined to him. If we died in Jesus, then Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. We'll see that a bit more, grown-ups, later on in Galatians. Now, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. That means Jesus' punishment and death counts as the punishment and death that I deserve, because I am one with him. But if you keep reading, you'll see, Paul also says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What Paul's saying is this, Jesus forgives and helps me to live. Jesus forgives and helps me to live. The Galatians thought that they needed to do loads more so that they could be forgiven. Jesus says, no, you're already forgiven, and now I'll help you lead better lives. Now I'll help you to live better. So if any of you feel like you've done really bad things, like a lot of bad things, and you'd never be able to make up for them, good news! Jesus says he's done everything already. Everything that's needed for you to be forgiven. But now that you have been forgiven, he's going to help us do all of the things that we find hard to do. Maybe you find it hard to forgive people when they hurt you. Maybe you find it hard to say sorry when you hurt other people. Maybe you find it hard to care about anyone other than yourself. Maybe you find it hard to stop looking at things that you know you shouldn't look at. Maybe you just find it really hard when you're angry just to walk away without using your words or your hands to hurt someone. There are a lot of things which are really hard in life which we should want to get better at. Well, Jesus lived a perfect life. He even managed to forgive the people who killed him. And he now helps us to live. So when we're finding any of those things difficult, Why not say a prayer to Jesus, thanking him that we're already forgiven? We don't need to earn our forgiveness, but we can also ask him to help us live like him. Sometimes we sing that song, don't we? I want to live like Jesus. Maybe the next time you sing that, you can say in your hearts a little prayer to God. Please help me to live like you. I'm going to say a prayer a bit like that now, and then Liz or Sam are going to come up and lead us in some more prayers. Let's put our hands together or our heads down, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you have done everything that is needed for me to be forgiven, even dying for me and coming back from the dead to live forever. Please help me to live like you. Thank you that I can live like you because you live in me. Amen.